KKFT 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We're covering all of Northern Nevada. Why? Because we're all dealing with the same things. You see the homeless here in Reno. Now you see them in Sparks. You're going to see them in Carson City even more. You see a few. You're going to start seeing them down in our beautiful rural areas. Minden, Gardnerville, Mason, Smith Valley. People will go where they're not hassled, where they don't have to worry about breaking the law because nobody's going to enforce it. Nobody's enforcing it here. I put a post on Facebook, and I cannot believe the comments that are being made. Michael sent me pictures. A man is living with his dog in this van. Another man lives in this big rig trailer. Multiple people live in this motorhome. People live in this motorhome too. Two people are living out of this little Jeep. People are living in this trailer. These are trailers and vehicles just parked along the side of the road. Forget about 4th Street, Galletti. I mean, people are trying to clean up these areas, but it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So, I have my guest in, Tim McGivney. He was homeless for years. What, close to a decade, Tim?
Off and on, yep.
Off and on.
Yeah, off and on. And, yeah.
Drugs.
A lot of drugs.
A lot of drugs. And
a lot of drugs. A lot of everything you could think of criminal is out there. And nothing's being done about it.
No enforcement.
Nope. No enforcement. That's for sure.
Until now. But not here.
Right. Right.
I mean, you're working with Paul White and Quality of Life Reno and trying to make a difference. And Paul even came up with a plan that if CHAB, the Community Homeless Advisory Board, and I guess RAF, whatever that is, would actually look at and stop ignoring, we could fix the issues that we have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. It takes enforcement, and it takes a plan, and it takes us pooling the resources that we already have available. It doesn't take anything new. It doesn't take spending billions more, millions more, thousands more. It doesn't take a dollar more than what we've already put into the issue. We already have the resources available.
Well, yeah, because they go to the convention center or the Reno Ballroom every quarter or every 6 months and, you know, do the free haircut and free services and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we know the services are there. Again, yeah. It boils back down to law enforcement. But there's some place that actually put a plan together and it succeeded. Tell me the story.
Yeah, definitely. So we came across an article. It was from Burien, Washington. They have a population of about 50,000. It's a city outside of Seattle. And what they did was the business owners were actually getting together because they were fed up. They were losing business. They were down. I don't remember how many, 33%, 40%, something. All these different business owners were fed up with the homeless population. They were all over their parks, out in front of their businesses, mm-hmm. and everything. And so what they did was they got together and they came up with a plan to put into action all the resources they already had. And so they went, they did a bunch of outreach. I think they said it took them about a month of outreach, minimal cost. I don't know if it cost them, you know, it was just putting into effect the organizations that they already had in the city to be able to help them. They reached out, they offered them help. They went out, and then after they gave them enough time, they also have to have a certain number. So there's another element to this. It's that they have to have open beds available in a shelter,
mm-hmm.
Because of a federal court decision, Martin versus Boise, requires cities to have open shelter beds before enforcing laws against sleeping outdoors, which we have. we have open beds, so we're covered there. But so they needed to go along with certain compliance. And they went out, and then after they told the people, you know, did some outreach and told them that, you know, there's help available for you. There was an estimated 50 to 100 homeless in the area. After they went out, there it was down to only 27 people at the time that it came down to a 72-hour notice to vacate, or else they would be arrested. Now, out of those 27 people, 26 moved on, and then only one man was arrested. So when you talk about, you know, what are you just going to go out and arrest all the people and throw them all in jail for being homeless? That, you know, the other side would say, that's not necessarily what happened. And it explains it well in the article. It says, yes, they do. Some of them just move into a different area, one that's more more caters to the homeless being able to just break the laws and live the way they want to. But only six or seven were helped. And to me, that shows that only six out of the 50 to 100 really want to change the way that they're living.
And right, because you have to have that. I mean, you wanted to change, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it was an easy lifestyle with the people around me showing me that, no, this is an okay way to live. This is just, this is an okay way to live. And with no opposition, then that's just kind of what I got into because of the drug use and because of things like that.
Right.
I like the way they put it in the article, too. Hopefully you can post the link so people can read the article, but they called it compassionate enforcement. And I like that. There's issues with these people. Sometimes it's drugs. Sometimes it's mental health. Sometimes it's past abuse that will break them down. But what you're doing by just leaving them there to suffer out in the elements and everything is not loving, like we talked about last week. It needs
That's
to be.
That's why homeless people actually perish, is because they go out in the elements. And Tim, when you were out on the street, if somebody did that, if they decided that, you know, it's 110 degrees outside, I'm going to go stay outside, or it's, you know, 10 degrees outside, I'm not going to go to the shelter. Whose choice is that?
Yeah, that would be their choice. They can come up with all types of excuses. And then we went out, Paul and I, the other day, and we were talking, our Reno hot sheet talked about the park we went to talk to. This leads into that example. If you're staying out in those elements, we talked to a lady who was, we said, well, what about getting some mental health help and getting you on track and so you feel better? And she said, oh, well, I went down there. They were rude to me. So then I started yelling. And after my appointment, they didn't call me a cab. They should have called me a cab. So I just started screaming at the top of my lungs. So I'll never go back there. You know, it's just, it's these things that when you're, it's like, being a dad, it's like with my son, certain things that will hurt him that he wants to do, go and open the oven and see what's in there and stick his hand in there, he's going to get hurt. So if I'm just enabling him to do that, and, oh, well, I don't want him to scream.
Yeah, burn your hand. You won't do it again.
Right. And so I don't let him over near the oven when it's hot. There's certain things, if you're willing to help these people, what it takes is telling them, sorry about your experience, you know what, you need mental health help, and one the option that's not available is you staying out here in these elements.
Yeah,
we have resources for you, here they are. It's that or it's jail. There it is. Go.
So
that's your choices.
You sent me an incredible letter, and it's why did you put that letter together? What did you put it together for? Was it an opinion piece? Or?
Oh yeah, it was an op-ed.
An op-ed. Okay.
Yeah.
So I took it and posted it on all of my social media sites, and so many positive. Thank you, Tim, for the information you've provided. I agree with your assessment of the homeless problem, but what really need to take place is that all of the churches in Washoe County area should come together and work hand in hand towards implementing problems.
Yeah.
Need to get the homeless off the streets.
We're working on that too at the churches. And
you know, thanks for sharing this, Monica. Awesome. Couldn't have explained it better. Best wishes, my friend, in your future endeavors. Thank you, Monica, for sharing. Very astute, well stated. That goes for all over the U.S. So you were making the points that it's not just here, you know. And somebody, Lev, said, as a once homeless drug and alcohol addict, plus I've learned that my own or my one way to a full life is he chose the help of God. But.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, sorry about this. Bruce says, dude is a bitter dork. Sorry, Tim. You made stupid decisions for yourself, but the fact is Volunteers of America, who run the majority of homeless in our city, does a great job addressing those issues. You are right in your understanding of some people wanting to stay. I can't use that word. Up and will die. Helping others has to be done to important, but you are right. People have to help themselves. I don't think you're a bitter dork.
Oh, thank you, Monica.
I think that you're wanting to actually help others attain what you have.
Yeah.
Is Volunteers of America doing a great job?
I think, okay, so it wasn't an opposition to them necessarily, but no, I don't think they're doing a great job as far as what they're offering.
Didn't you and Paul say something that Pat Cashel, who is the director of that facility, come forward at one point and say that it's a mess?
Yeah, there was an article on RGJ after that. They found that body on the roof, I guess. It was up there 3 days, and then, of course, they're looking, well, what's going on over here? And then it was said in the article, everything's out of control, that there's chaos in the shelter and things like that. So I don't know if I'm being a bitter dork by trying to
I don't think,
and I'm not trying to say that's a resource that we should all pool together and actually help these people.
Well, isn't that where the beds are at?
There's some beds there. Yeah, there's beds there. There's beds at Reno Gospel Mission, which requires a program seeking mental health, working clean and sober, and does great. The VOA is just kind of a free-for-all because of the federal money. And so because of the federal funding, they have to have this no barrier. So no barrier was passed back, I think it was Reagan.
What does no barrier mean?
So no barrier is a law that, and I'm learning more about this, but it's a law where if you're taking federal money, you can't have any barriers in the way of people having the availability to the ability to those resources.
If they're coming to your door, you can't say you need to be in a sobriety program, you need to...
Not if you accept federal funds. And it's not much, Monica. We could take it over in our community, run it with our community members and our community plan that as a city, we want to implement this. We want to get rid of the federal funding. We want to do this. It wouldn't be much. They don't get that much, but we'd be able to put in place, come on in, yeah, we want you to get help. We want you to be clean and sober. We want you to have a job. We want you to be able to provide a healthy lifestyle for yourself. That's what we want. We don't want people to come in to sleep and stay drunk and high and unaccountable.
Okay. Well, so, stick around because those talk lines are open. Ken, please wait. We got to take a quick spot break here. 884-9910. Tim McGivney, I'm putting him in a new job now, and he's my watchdog out on the streets when it comes to the homeless issue at 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Where did we go? Where did we go wrong? Actually, that's one of my favorite songs there, and it's, you know, fun and brown-eyed girl, but where did we go? Where did we hit the skids and go off the rails? KKFT 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. And we have the homeless issue all across Northern Nevada. Tim McGivney is my guest today. He is with, actually, Stronghold Institute is what you're representing when you come in and talk about the homeless issue. But you're also starting another organization to help young dads. And, you know, I don't know how far along you are, but...
We've been helping dads quite a bit. Daddy Academy.
I love that. So... People have their opinions on this. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Ken this morning. Hi, Ken. Did you want to talk about the homeless issue?
Well, yeah, I did. I wish, truly wish, that I had a solution to the problem. But I know that when the government says, oh, we're going to check with the experts, I wonder if any of those experts have been on the street. Because we're always looking at, like this gentleman that you have on was talking about drug and alcohol. I was on the streets in the mid-90s for a short period of time, not very long. And I wasn't a drug user. I wasn't an alcoholic. I had education and experience. I was eminently hireable. But just through circumstances... I ended up on the street. I was in South Lake Tahoe during the blizzard of 94. I spent the blizzard in a cardboard box. But the system that was in place at that time in South Lake Tahoe, I went to ask and I said, all I need is a hand up. You can't get hired when you look and smell homeless. Nobody's going to hire you for anything. So I went in and I asked, I need a meal chit at one of the casinos for one meal a day for 2 weeks, tops. That's it, 2 weeks. And a flea bag motel for 2 weeks. I'll get a job in 2 weeks. Once I clean up, once I get some sleep, once I can do my laundry, and once I can make myself back to a presentable human being, I will get a job. I have education. I have experience. And I'm not going to live on the street for the rest of my life. But I do need this short hand up. Well, the system says, no, we can't do that. You need to apply for everything. Welfare, medical, food stamps, everything. And this is what they told me, being as, after I applied, I didn't want it, but I figured I'd get right back off of it. I was a single white male with no dependent children. I didn't qualify for any assistance.
Okay.
And I did run into a former coworker. He says, dude, you're on the street, aren't you? I said, well, yeah. And he let me come and stay with him. And in less than 2 weeks, I had a job. About 2 months after that, I bought a vehicle. A couple of months after that, I got my own place. It didn't take long once I got that opportunity. And there was no drugs, no alcohol, no criminal record, nothing like that was involved. So when the government steps in with a one-size-fits-all and we're going to cure you, put you in rehab, and then help you out, very seldom does it work.
Yeah.
I had a... Go ahead.
No, I think you do have a solution, Ken. You said it right there. It's the government's one size fits all. And, you know, in a sense that you have to have mental issues. You have to have drug issues. Ken, thank you so much for the call, because Tim, I'm going to direct you back to that, because you weren't actually on the street for the most part like Ken was. You were sleeping in cars, you were sleeping on couches, and you were sleeping in one of the downtown casino hotels.
Yeah.
And I want you to stay, and I want you to tell people that story, and we will go over that, because... people don't believe that, because the casinos, you know, like I said, I'm not here to make friends. The casinos say that that doesn't happen.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And people will defend the casinos and say that that doesn't happen.
Hmm.
And that's a big part of it that we need to go over. So please stick around. We, of course, are the home of Fox News at 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Tim McGivney, my guest today with Stronghold Institute, and we're going to tell you how, if this organization was around when Ken was on the street, the problem could have been solved for him. But when government gets involved, like CHAB, the Community Homeless Advisory Board that is filled with nothing but city council members and commissioners, nothing gets done. When they take control of issues like this, like I said, things just don't get fixed. Let's get a check of Fox News around the world and locally here with Amy Cherry at KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT, actually, we had a lot of numbers in there. 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada at 884-9910. Also, Monica at 991FMTalk.com. I loved hearing Ken's story there just a moment ago. I mean, to survive the just harshest winter in Lake Tahoe in a box, you know, when you need that kind of help, but you don't do drugs, you're not an alcoholic, you're just down and out, you know, and you want to have the ability to work and do something. We have something for that issue now, and it was started just a couple of years ago. It's called Quality of Life Reno. If you call that organization or go online or just even show up at their door, they can help, you know. They will help get you that job. They have people in line to hire people that, you know, want to work. That's the difference when you want to work. But when the government gets involved, you have to sign up for all these things that you don't necessarily need.
It's that trap we talked about last week, too.
It's the entrap. The government wants to control everything.
And then when the numbers go up, the more funding, federal funding that comes in, so you keep those numbers going up rather than solve something.
Now, you were explaining to me that you weren't actually homeless in the tent on the street braving the elements.
Right.
Every once in a while you were, but for the most part, you guys actually get together and you get rooms at the hotel casinos.
Yeah, and so that's a another dangerous aspect of the homeless situation is that when you see a younger person that looks somewhat competent, these gangsters or these dudes that are running drugs from California, from Vegas, in from Mexico and everything, well, what that is cheap labor. So you get someone who's down and out, and then you start work. It's a networking thing. You start working together. You start networking, and it's organized crime, I guess. And so you'd have somebody in charge who it would trickle down through to the different levels of people that would run drugs in casinos, that would run drugs on the streets, that would run drugs around the city, transport in and out of California, things like this. But you'd end up, using players club cards and staying in the hotels, casinos downtown, and just sharing nights and sharing rooms and things like that.
How many people like in a room?
It depends. I mean, yeah, it depends on how many guys were around, in and out all night long.
How do you sleep? I mean, you really didn't.
Have you looked up the effects of meth? Monica, you don't sleep.
Yeah, that's
true. No, but
true.
That was me. I mean, the other people they'd be passed out on the bed. And
so you just keep going until it doesn't matter if there's 20 people in the room.
No, do what you need to do, sleep, shower, keep going, keep going.
I mean, how does that make you feel as a resident of this area to know that, you know, that is what's happening? And we're not talking Fleabag motels. We're talking the hotel casinos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. The hotel casinos, any of them, with the players club cards. Accrue points. Everybody uses the same. We used to use the same one so that it would just build and build and build on one account, or you'd have a few, but you could get multiples of the same card.
So that's how you're kind of staying off the street, is you're down there and you're playing the slots.
Yeah. Slots and
You know, that's funny because we had, well, actually, it's not funny. It just goes to show how ignorant and with blinders we have on that. We had Eddie Lorton in one day, and he was talking about how, you know, that's one reason why the shelter shouldn't be downtown is because of the access that they take. They get their checks because you do have to understand homeless people get checks from the government. They get a certain amount of money. They get food stamps that they go and they sell for, you know, what, 10 cents on the dollar or the EBT cards now. It's still the same thing. And that they will go and play in the casinos. Mm-hmm. And they'll get their free drinks and they'll get their comps and they work. And people don't believe that that happens. But you're sitting there saying that you were doing it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you could sell the food stamps. Then just, gamble, buy your drugs, gamble, get comped meals.
Comped rooms.
Comped rooms, yeah, depending on what level. And yeah, one of the guys was gambling $759,000 a year. He was homeless. He was also selling meth, but then again, it's on the level that he was selling that much that just...
Then
you have, then at that level, then you're able to trickle it down. Then when you see any of these homeless areas, you need something done, that you need someone to go knock on a door, see who's there, come back and tell me how many guys are in there. Is this girl there? That's where you go and you get them to do that. Hey, go bring this over. Here's $10. Go bring this over and drop this off in that mailbox, whatever you need done that you don't want to be doing.
What do you think the comparison is from San Francisco and the things that are happening over there right now, because they're, you know, talking about the plight and these down and out people, to how it compares to Reno?
As far as the...
Are we more of the mental or the drugs or...
I don't know. It all goes hand in hand. I don't know if I could say anything's more than another. It's just all a big issue that needs to be and could be solved starting now. If we put into effect the plan that we came up with and outlined in that packet that my op-ed was in, it's a compassionate enforcement of this to solve this homeless issue.
Well,
get people off the streets, make it more safe. You have sex trafficking out there. You have these young girls who are out there being lured, and then it's much more disguised when you see a group of homeless people, young girls in there. You know, oh, maybe they're just homeless. Maybe not. A large percentage are involved in sex trafficking, and so we're trying to eradicate that also. I'd like to see prostitution become illegal in Nevada, but.
Well, it is in Washoe County.
Yeah.
You know, I mean that we're of a different opinion there, because I believe that, you know, legalized prostitution that is controlled and in the ranch, you know, the Bunny Ranch or something like that, or Wild Horse or I forget the different names, you know, that girls are and they're willing to do it and they want to do that because it's an industry like anything else. I'm sorry, but there are some people that have to pay for closeness, let's put it that way. But then there are others who are illegally being put into it, and we need
to... They go hand in hand. We had a lot of girls working in there on the weekend and then coming out and working in the hotels and casinos during the week.
Really?
They're doing it legally, and besides the fact that they're being forced to work at those places, a lot of them...
Interesting.
...are being told to go there. You go, get your money, come back, then work here during the week.
You have your card for the state, and you get your checks and everything, but you're still doing both sides of it.
I don't know about I was talking about coming in, working, and prostituting illegally in the casinos here in town, and then they'd go out to the Bunny Ranches and things and do that on the days that they were scheduled out there, and then they would come back in.
Well, that needs to be cracked down on.
Well, it all goes hand in hand when there's a breakdown of morals and ethics. That's what self-government relies on, morals and ethics, certain truths that we need to adhere to. When you start blurring those lines and start calling whatever's okay for you is okay, that's when I believe that America suffers and is in danger of collapse, because we're reliant on sort of a code of everyone attempting to do the best to their ability, and right. that's breaking down, and that's what we're seeing.
And I wish that were true for everybody, but unfortunately, you know, but actually I shouldn't say unfortunately, fortunately in this country, people have freedom of choice. And that is something that you can only educate. It's yeah. the same thing with the abortion issue.
Yeah.
You know, I wish everybody, you know, believed that it was a human being, and I wish everybody believed that, you know, it, but in a fair society under rights, you have to be able to let people do their own choices.
Yeah, right.
And this is what and, works it out, is yeah. talking about it.
Yeah, definitely. And then the education that they're getting also, because we're looking at, like you said earlier, about
the share program.
49, yeah. 50, whatever, 30-something genders that are being taught. So then you're getting slanted or a... what's the word I'm looking for? A view
yeah.
of sexuality.
A misguided view, yeah.
A misguided view, bias, information that are being taught in our schools and then expecting good outcomes. But we're getting lower and lower test scores. We're getting more and more homeless because...
Oh, but boy, we bumped up from 50th to yeah. 49th in the state yeah, for education.
I thought it was 50 from 51st to 50th. Was it 49th?
I think we broke into the 49s
right.
now. But,
okay.
you know, I go back good. To, you know, this is one of the big problems when you have government involved in absolutely everything. And if you look at the Community Homelessness Advisory Board, the membership is just city council members and county commissioners. Mm. There's no experts. There's no people who are dealing with the situation on a personal basis like yourself or on a professional basis.
Right, right. And we're going out and we're trying to get the information out there. We're visiting different parks and... You read the did you read the last hot sheet?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went up and the guys were doing hand signals and whistling because they were in the middle of a deal underneath the overhang there.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what's going on.
So welcome to Reno.
Yeah.
Where you can get your drugs, you can get your girls, you can get your yeah. guys, whatever your choices are, and you can just pitch a tent and yeah. not have to worry about law enforcement coming and cracking down
yeah.
because that's what they've been told from city officials.
Yeah, right, right. And it's scary. I'm spending a lot of time right now over at St. Mary's for a family member. But anyhow, looking out the window, there's these sororities and fraternities right there, and there's a little walk bridge, and right about, oh, I'd say less than a football field away from those houses and where all the college students are walking back and forth to class, there's two homeless camps right there.
Yeah.
My mom texted me this morning saying, he's naked.
Oh,
I said, what?
Oh,
she said, yeah, I was looking out there to see what they were doing because we were like, hey, what are they doing? You know, watching them and stuff. They have their little areas. She said, yeah, he's naked. He's been searching through this bag for about 15, 20 minutes standing out there naked. Right. And I mean, this
yeah,
is dangerous because when you're talking about sex trafficking and things like this or people out of their minds, whether it be because they need mental health that counseling that they're not getting or it's drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Then either way, when that's just dangerous situation
right.
that could go awry at any second. I mean, I don't want to be an alarmist, but that's the truth of it.
You're not being an alarmist. Yeah. It's happening every single day.
And I mean, I used to be out there on the streets and run. I'd go into any house anytime with any guy in there to do what I needed to do. But it was unsettling. I was getting those old feelings coming back in me when me and Paul were going and went up into that park.
Yeah.
The guys standing up to us, and it was one guy came and walked around the back of us to check out and see probably if there was any cops down the street waiting or seeing what we were doing. But he circled out around back, and the other guys were up in the front. And one came out on the side, and
right. it's dangerous.
Not, it's not safe out there. So,
Tim McGivney, thank you so much for what you're doing for the community yeah. and for the community. Whether it be with the homeless issue or the new, you know, Father Academy.
Yeah, thank you. We're trying to get things back on track. And, yeah.
Well, you've got to. You have a son that yeah. is going to grow up into all of this now. So he mm-hmm. needs to have a better place. And I'm tired of people talking about the environment when we need to be talking about the serious issues that are going on right now.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Tim McGivney, strongholdinstitute.com. Strongholdinstitute.com, QOL-Reno.org. There are people out there that are willing to make a difference, but guess what? The city council and the county commissions won't listen to them. won't even give them agenda time. What does that tell you? Tim, I look forward to what you have to bring next Monday, because that's your spot, 11 o'clock on Mondays.
All right.
Tell us what happened over the weekend and what parks you go to and what the outcome was and what our outlook is.
Yeah, all definitely. Right. I will. I look forward to it. And check out that article. Hopefully we can get it shared to the Facebook page.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always right. Go on to my Facebook page, because whether it be the Reno Hot Sheets, which you can find this information on, or the opinion pieces that we put out, please.
Yeah. Bernie and Washington, they did it.
Yep.
Compassionate enforcement.
And it can be done here if we actually get the city council and the county commissions to do it. KKFT, it's your live and local FM talk for whatever issue you want to hit. 884-9910. We'll be right back after this on KKFT, the Monica Jay Show. Hey, Big Voice Guy. Don't forget about 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley. It's 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk, the Monica Jay Show at 884-9910. But sometimes you just got to let the big guy come on.
Well, yeah,
Jerry Evans.
I thought he was he's the big voice guy. Yeah, you tell him.
Yeah.
Don't forget 92.3, Yerington and Smith Valley. I just wanted to check with you and see how everything went on Saturday. Had a lot of fun, I understand. Met a lot of people. Yeah.
Oh, it was a wonderful, so many great speakers, but even more so, 1,300 people out there, and so many of them listening to the station, loving the fact that we're on 92.3 now, so they can get it even a little bit farther, and teaching a number of people how to stream the show on their computers.
So we give seminars at each remote, which you have another one
basically.
Coming.
Yes, basically.
I got to tell you, I kind of stopped going to those things because I feel more like a Republican at a Democrat convention or rally at those things.
No.
A fish out of water. So enough said on that, but I do feel kind of out of place. I'm a conservative, and now most of those people down there were, but again, the person that ran for governor holding the hand of Michael Roberson, a uber-liberal Republican who basically was a Democrat with a Republican label, I don't know that it was turnout, but, you know, people don't turn out when Republicans act like Democrats and govern
Interesting. It's interesting that you said that, Jerry, because of the fact I had actually two different people come up to me and say that they really liked the Adam Laxalt that they were seeing that day and how enthusiastic and straightforward and just really on his own, making a voice for himself.
Yeah, you know,
and it was really impressive.
Yeah, what's the old saying about changing stripes? And yeah, I hope so, but I think it all comes down to judgment. You have to have kind of that core foundation of being a conservative before you do anything like that. I mean, again, think about it. If it's you in that position, Monica, politician, are you going to hold hands, campaign for, run ads with the guy who got driver's licenses for illegals?
Oh, God, hell no.
Are you going to do the same with the guy who passed through that horrendous tax bill and put a new label on it, calling it the commerce tax? I just don't think, though. And that's where I think, again, you have to have that core principle of being a conservative and that judgment call, which obviously he did not exhibit and lacks as a conservative. No pun intended on the last name there. Get it? Hey, by the way, I want to wish you a happy birthday. And also I want to remind you too, got a great event that we're going to be doing this Saturday. You'll be there doing a live remote at the Capital City Gun Club. Tom Forbes at the Gun Club is a sponsor of the broadcast. He ordered a pallet full of pink clays. It's the Aim for the Cure remote. We'll raise some money for a great cause this Saturday at the Capital City Gun Club. Every weekend, Monica, we got you someplace. We'll come up with something else for October.
Okay, that's perfect. I absolutely love this because, you know, breast cancer affects so many more than just the victims themselves. It's the families and, you know, men can actually have breast cancer as well. So this is a great event. I'm so excited. And just to be, you know, I've never actually shot clay before. I'm always doing the target thing with my pistols. So I'm pretty excited just to go down there as, you know, one of those people. It's like, wow, how do you do this?
Oh, it'll be fun. You'll have the sound effects in the library, or in the background, rather, with the guns going on.
Yeah, we don't need a sound effects library for this. So.
We got it live for you this Saturday.
As long as you have it all set up for me, then we are ready to do this and have some fun. So thank you, Jerry, for helping me get out there and being part of the public, too, because that's what I live for. I hate sitting in this studio. I want to be out with the listeners, and I want to be out having a good time and raising awareness for everything.
Sounds like a bit of an attitude
you,
problem
sir.
There, and you hate sitting in this studio. Okay. Duly noted.
Don't hate it. Don't put words in my mouth. Just, you know. Oh, I guess I said I did hate it. Oh, never mind. Okay. Well, that's it for me today. I'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning, which tomorrow is officially my birthday. So, you know, I'll be in a good mood.